know everything sucks, yeah. I know everything sucks, whoa. I know everything sucks, and this is gonna be the last time you hear me complain.
What's up, Dudette Nation? Thanks for joining us, if you did.
Why are you here?
On the Dough Patrol podcast, soon to be the XFL Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale is a big old zero, although I'm drinking a Moscow Mule in honor of our Russian veteran.
What kind of cup are you drinking out of?
An LSU cup.
Okay.
That's an LSU cup. Because LSU is the featured Louisiana football team of the year. All right, anyway, I don't have an intro. I didn't write an intro because, you know what? Fuck it. So, Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a one. I had a couple cocktails at dinner, and just, I don't know, maybe it was yesterday. It just didn't seem to affect me. So I do have no wind down Monday since I'm not at home. I'm out on the road.
Where are you podcasting from?
I'm currently at the Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. I know it sounds so frou-frou, but down in Disney World. This is now like year six or seven that I've done a show from the hotel.
You were the smartest person in the whole state by leaving on Wild Card Weekend and not having to take part in this fiasco.
That is the one thing. Like, I'm glad I didn't have to leave that dome after what transpired.
Right. You know, and I'm glad I didn't take the tickets.
I mean, it was bad enough. So I watched it. I was at Universal, and there was a big NBC Sports restaurant. Watched the whole game there. The second it's over, I walk out, and we're just like, let's just go in the park. I just need to distract myself from it. So we go in the park, and
so he rotates down.
And we hop on Transformers, and it's like I'm still trying to go in, and I'm still trying to process everything that happened. I'm on the ride. I'm like, I'm helping Optimus Prime save the world, and I'm just like sitting there just numb to everything. Like, oh, I'm almost got shot. Whatever. It was just the
What's
weirdest.
What's the point?
Seriously, I was like, why the fuck am I riding an amusement park, right? I'm just like, I literally felt nothing. It was the weirdest experience I have ever. I just felt nothing.
Dude, the Saints ruined Disney World for you.
I mean, that takes whatever. A lot. That takes a lot for me. Now, today was a lot better, but yesterday was just, I was just stunned, numb. Optimus Prime saying thank you. I'm like, thank you for what? I was just sitting here. I just feel like an idiot.
Depressimus Prime.
It was interesting, weird. I don't know.
All right. Sucked. Yeah, it did suck. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a zero as well. I have to go to work later, and I'm drinking some sweet tea, but. Yeah.
Did Andres Pete make your drink and forget to put alcohol in it because he sucks at everything that he does?
No, if he would have made my drink, I don't know, he would have spilled it.
Spilled it.
I was going to say, you just spilled it like three times.
He would have poured it all over Drew Brees. All right. On the live feed, we've got Jason Lake saying, as we first year, but who dat for life? I don't know what this is. Chris Marmer says, I just want to say I'm not mad that we lost. We actually deserve to lose. We look like shit. And if you can't review a scoring play in overtime in the playoffs, then I'm done with the NFL. We'll talk about that in a minute. Man, Michael Hedden says, this Saints team was sent into a tailspin.
Oh, shit. Tailspin. Oh, no. See what you did, Jeff.
Farmer continued, I felt like the second year in a row I was the only pissed off fan after the game. People were joking and they seemed not to care. Yeah, like the Dome Patrol podcast, going on Transformers rides. Randy Lamont says Chris Farmer's comments hilarious, or maybe Tom Michael Hedden's comments hilarious. We got a few other people watching on the stream. None of them are saying much right now. Don't worry, folks. If you say something, we'll read it. We'll comment on it. In the meantime, let's get into the game recap.
I've been sitting here trying to find myself. I get behind myself. I need to rewind myself.
I'll start off by saying the good thing about this game was, besides Deontay Harris and Taysom Hill, and that's why Scott's on the show, because Taysom scored a touchdown. And he was responsible for blocking and scoring a touchdown because of his amazing blocking skills. But anyway, the real good thing is, I think the easier pill to swallow for this game was the fact that we had a long, like, three quarters to prepare for the loss. Whereas the last 2 years, we had those games and they were stolen from us, either by a stupid play
or... Hold on. 2017's Minnesota game, we were down 17-0 at half, and we made a miraculous comeback to the end.
Okay, yeah, but the game was ripped away from us at the last second, and then the refs stole the game from us last year. This year, you know, I had that losing feeling the whole time, except for whenever we came back and tied it.
Well, it's weird. It just was one of those things. You could tell, like, they got pressure on the offensive line early, and you're like, fuck, it's going to be one of these games. Like, that happened. Like, you can just tell. It's like, this is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be bad. And just, man, just the last 4 weeks, the offense was clicking so well, and just to not have it. And then I'm watching it, I'm like, where the fuck was this when Minnesota played Green Bay 2 weeks ago and looked like absolute dog shit? It just... That made me angry. That made me very angry to see Minnesota play like this against us when if they beat Green Bay, we don't even play them as you know, yesterday.
I mean, it honestly looked like we weren't ready to play, almost. Like, we were just, like, not ready, but, like, we just went out expecting Minnesota that they were just going to let us beat them.
Who were their defensive linemen? They're awesome. That, you know, clearly were the factor of the game. Warren and
Danielle Hunter's really good. He's been really good. But just
that was the game. You put it all on their ability to break through the line. And, you know, I mean, I'm going to jump all over Pete for the whole show and probably for the rest of my life. But maybe I don't know how much of it was Pete sucking versus they're just that good. And this came down to their ability. In that that personal matchup, and I always say football is a game of matchups, they won that battle, which pressured Drew Brees, which rendered the pass game ineffective. It allowed their cornerbacks and safeties to play or to push our receivers around. I mean, at the end of the day, it was that catalyst, and we didn't have an answer for it. The whole game, we were never able to address that. I don't know if they tried to send help over to Pete or if they tried to do anything else. Zach Line being out, how much did that affect their ability to rush? How many times did they were getting through the line, and how many times did you see Saints line up with a no back set?
Well, I mean, it was known that, you know, everybody knows you get pressure up the middle on Brees and he's not going to perform well. I mean, that's the line. Just like, Bill Belichick's going to try to take out your best player. I mean, it's a thing that's known. So I think what they did was they talked about on the broadcast that they took their guys that are usually playing on the outside and they moved him over to the inside to get that pressure on Drew on the inside of the line. The best plays that Pete had were when he got hurt and he was sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought in, what was it, Omiyamata or whatever? And then Omana. He did, oh, whatever the fuck his name is.
Manamana.
He does good.
Manamana.
And we start moving. And so what do? They tape Pete up and put him back in. If he was sucking before, why do you think he's going to be any better now right. that he has an ankle
right.
and you tape him up? Like, it doesn't...
Right. He's going to play better hurt than he was... Right. Yeah, that's true, Scott.
I mean, I think a lot of this is really on Peyton, to be honest.
Some of the decision-making.
The decision-making, the play calling, the bad clock management, not taking that time out and instead of taking the 10-minute runoff, you know, using your timeout, not taking the 10-minute runoff.
10 seconds.
Well, and then wasting a timeout earlier on a third one, whereas if you had the extra timeout at the end, you
could
call the timeout.
It just seemed like, I don't, you know, the past, I don't know, however many years. I mean, you can go back to the past 3 years. Past 3 years, we've been knocked out of the playoffs on the last play, basically, of the game. The past 3 years. You look at Peyton and the inconsistency of the team. Like, you never know week to week which team is going to show up. And it's been like that.
You won 13 games.
No, but hold on. But
it doesn't matter if you don't do it in the playoffs.
I know, but you talk about inconsistency. You won 13 games, and you could have won the San Francisco game. And the Rams game was a fluke because Bruce Brees got hurt. This team was consistent.
I'm not even necessarily talking about this year. It's
they won 13 games last year.
You don't know which team is going to show up. You don't know if it's going to be a dogfight.
No, hold on. Hold on.
Sometimes the ball bounces your way and you get lucky. But, you know, and I know the other team is prepared and it's an NFL game and there's no easy games. And you can say that all you want. But you pretty much know there are certain teams. If they're bad, you know they're going to be bad week to week. If they're good, you know, for the most part, they're going to be good week to week.
But you
there's
could say
times
that
where the
offense just is like.
But hold on. We were on the Saints go on runs. We were on like a 4 or 5 week run where our offense was the best offense in the league. So okay. I fully expected that. And just the
but you line, didn't get it. It's inconsistency. We didn't.
It's not inconsistency. It's just they had a bad game. You know, the offensive line just got whooped. I don't know why.
They got whooped last night.
They've just been so good all year. And
So I was texting with Dave Romero from the BS and Beer podcast earlier today, and he was saying how that's what boggles his mind, Jason, is the fact that this is an all-pro offensive line. This is perhaps the best offensive line in football, arguably so. How could they have been manhandled the way that they were? How did you let that happen? And again, Minnesota has players too. Okay.
Did you say mind boggling?
I did. It took you long enough to say come back on. Minnesota has players too. Now let me catch us up.
My internet connection is unstable.
Okay. Some of the comments here. They knew Peyton would not run and rely on Breeze too much. Let's see. The reason it hurts, Chris Hansberry, just hope Breeze comes back after seeing all the free agents for this year. It makes me sick. Aaron King says they knew. I said that one. Randy Lamont, Anders Pete was in a tailspin. ran the ball. Some comments on running the ball. James Cupid, this game was about execution. Don't blame the game plan so much. Garen King, game plan suck balls too. So what you talk about the game plan. Maybe the initial game plan sucked. They didn't adjust them too much. You would have thought they would have. Where was Latavius Murray? Why will they refuse to use him?
Either one of them. They didn't run
not
the ball.
Present. Wait, I think there was not three. Present.
I guess there was what?
We do not have quorum.
Rushes?
Like why even sign him? You know? You signed him to replace Ingram, but you didn't give him the carries that you would have given Ingram. You know? And why not, like, I don't understand how we didn't use Kamara more out the backfield in terms of passing. Like, put them both in the lineup, man. Prove your offensive mettle. Your offensive line's getting whooped. You got to adjust to that. You got to get the ball out quick. You got to out-scheme them somehow.
And they didn't use Jared Cook till like the third or fourth, end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. I mean, he was gone the whole game. You know, I don't understand. I don't get it. Taysom did have a very good game.
Yeah.
Feel like, you know, honestly, if it weren't for him, we wouldn't have been in the ball game. I mean, he caught a touchdown. He threw a pass to set up a touchdown to Deontay Harris. I mean, offensively speaking, there was Taysom, Michael Thomas, and Harris were like the only three that showed up to play. Yeah. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. And the referees, do you feel like you got a relatively fair game that we've been all wanting? I mean,
for the most part, obviously, the last play of the game with the OPI. I mean, whatever.
How is that not? All right, so what is the deal? I thought every touchdown scored had to be reviewed.
They said it was reviewed. They didn't see that there was enough evidence. Listen, they put...
If he fell down, they might. If he fell down, there might have been.
There's the reason they put the rule in, and then there's the real reason they put the rule in. The reason they put the rule in was for what it is, to be able to review it. That's what they told you. The real reason they put it in was basically just to say, here, we're putting it in. We're not really going to enforce it, but we'll put it in just to appease you, because we know we have a problem, a PR problem. An optics problem, so we're going to put the rule in, but we're not really
to give the illusion. I like Cam Jordan's post game comments where he's like, "Oh, the NFL will probably make a rule about it in the offseason, and that'll be their way of addressing it."
But then, if they don't enforce it, it doesn't matter. It's
right.
The same thing with.
Well, I think that was his. That was his cynical point. Yeah. Like, a lot of fucking good it does us. You know, he's like, he said, I thought every touchdown was supposed to be reviewed. Like, all of a sudden, in an overtime game of a wild card playoff, where the winner is decided or not, that's not reviewable.
They said they looked at it,
but of course they're not going to do that.
And they also have the alternate refs too. They have more referees at this game than they've ever had.
Well, that's the thing. You had those like everybody joked about the Phantom Zone refs came out in another game on Saturday. Like, where were they this time? Yeah. But look, that's not the reason the Saints lost.
Yeah, Chris Farmer, it's insulting our intelligence to say that they reviewed it. You're right. They didn't. They didn't review
it. It's look. It's not why they lost, but that was offensive pass interference.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. At the same. You're right. I mean, but again, circumstances happened the way they did. That not being called, we could have walked away and stole that win if we could have held them to a field goal and drove. I mean, a lot would have had to happen, and we're not going to be like last year and say this is why we lost. You're right. The Saints earned that loss by playing like shit for three quarters.
They were lucky to be in the game at all. Lucky to be in overtime.
Yeah. But all right. So you say that, right? Let's say take it and flip that angle. They played like shit, and yet they still could have won the game, which means they did do enough to win. They played well enough to win. They played bad, but it was still well. And that tells you how bad Minnesota's offense is.
The defense played enough. I mean, you gave up only 20 points. If you give up only 20 points, with our offense, you should win.
Oh, yeah. DeMario Davis, Chris Sansbury, DeMario Davis showing up. You're right, Chris. That was another highlight.
Yeah.
So, again, if you want to look at some positives for what could happen next year, yeah, I have a few good players that hopefully will still be on the team. Chauncey Gardner Johnson, great.
Here's the one thing you can say. This roster is plenty talented to still win 9 to 11 or 12 games next year. Regardless of what, they're obviously going to lose a few players here and there, but they're plenty talented to still be a contender next year.
I mean, does it matter if they don't do it in the playoffs?
It just sucks. This
Well, is that what Sean Payton and Drew Brees have done to Saints fans? Where unless you win the Super Bowl, it's not worth it. I mean, think about when we were growing up, Scott. I mean, you just took each week and enjoyed the win as it happened, and you had no expectation. It's almost like
that, to be honest with you.
Cleveland fans have got it made. I mean,
I'd almost rather have no expectation and be surprised than have expectation and lose. I know that sounds whatever, but
Dalton Delgard wants to know, you think there's any chance we pull a Jimmy Graham, Sproles, or Cooks and actually trade Kamara? The only way I want to trade him is to Cincinnati to get that number one pick.
I mean, Kamara yesterday, even on the plays where he was getting the ball, like, he's just running out of bounds, like, Taysom Hill doesn't do that shit.
Well, like there was one he fell down, like he thought he was going to get hit. He just fell.
And he's the one who false started on the freaking play that lost the 10-second run.
You know, we'll see what happens with this contract situation. Is he going to pull a Michael Thomas and threaten to hold out?
I'm really threatened at this point. Ooh.
Well, I mean, I assumed he would put up another Kamara season, and he would definitely do it. He still probably will because he's getting paid peanuts, but it made it seem like he was more protecting himself.
Maybe we've already gotten the best out of the Kamara that we're going to get. And he may go somewhere else and play nice, but it's almost kind of like, sell at if he's a stock, it's time to sell. Might be time to sell because like Scott pointed out last week, running backs are a dime a dozen. They last a couple of years and the Saints especially seem really good at finding good running backs, or the fact that we do have an all-pro offensive line, who any running back's going to be successful behind. Just saying, if you can get something for him, it might be worth it.
Yeah. To kind of shift a little bit, I love Drew Brees. He's the GOAT. I can't thank him enough for all he's done for this franchise, but, I mean, he's definitely on the downward. I mean, if you look at some of the passes he threw yesterday,
he had Lauren and the whole time.
Even when he had time, the balls, Michael Thomas was diving all over the place to catch balls.
Yeah, there was that.
Cook was stretching out to catch balls. And the other thing I've noticed is his mobility, if he didn't have much to begin with, but it is gone. Like, he is a statue.
Two or three weeks ago we were talking about the moves he was making to avoid pressure and still make the throws. That was 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Scott's, what have you done for me yesterday?
Because it doesn't fit your narrative, that's which is fine.
I'm not saying he needs to go. I'm just saying that he's lost that mobility a little bit. Like, he used to be able to slip and slide.
Sure, yeah, he's 41. But it goes back to the whole thing about the declining arm strength. People have been saying it for 5 years, and now that it's actually declining, like, see, I was right. No, you weren't right. If you say it long enough, it's going to become true.
I'm saying it now. I'm not talking about 4 or 5 years. Okay. I'm talking about right now. I mean, if you look at, did y'all watch the Houston game at all?
Yeah.
Okay, the play where Deshaun Watson, where the two players hit him at the same time, and then like he spun off. You know what I'm talking about?
So I get it. So Drew Brees at 41 is not a 22-year-old quarterback. I got
that's
it.
That's what I'm Deshaun saying. Deshaun Watson is a physical freak. Drew was never that. You can't compare the two.
What I'm saying is it's time to draft somebody and get ready for Drew to exit within the next year.
Sure, but or why wouldn't you just stay with Taysom Hill, Scott? Or Teddy Bridgewater?
With Taysom Hill. I'm okay with Taysom Hill.
I don't know. I would prefer to have
Drew Brees.
I would prefer to leave Taysom in his role.
Okay.
I could see that too.
It's nice to have him out there as a receiving threat, but
I like Taysom as a multiple threat. I'd rather have another quarterback than Taysom.
I think he's more dangerous as a multi-tool player than he would be as just
all right then you player. Then you run then you play with Teddy or you like Scott you draft somebody but the question about Brees are you kind of like New England maybe ready to move on from Brady you're ready to let Brees go play and finish his career somewhere else
No, I'm not ready to move on Brees
I'm saying another year maybe two but it's time now is the time to get that player to start learning in your system and learning and don't, and I'm not talking about getting somebody in the fourth, fifth or sixth round, who's a project. I'm talking about getting somebody like
the first Joe round, Burrow
moving up Joe Burrow. Two is coming out now, you know, two is coming out. Maybe, you know, moving
so you're looking to trade up and get one of these quarterbacks this draft.
Yes.
Okay.
If it depends on the philosophy of the team, are they still in the sell everything to win now mode, or is Sean starting to see bigger picture down the line? We need to move into thinking about life after Drew. Like, which way are they going to go? They're going to go one way or the other. Are they going to go for the?
Well, they have a good strong foundation right now that they can win. It's not you don't have to sell out to win. It hasn't worked yet. Why sell out?
I know that's what I'm saying. Like they've done it for the past 3 years, so maybe it's time to shift.
No. This roster's plenty talented to survive a transition. You can still draft with needs that we have. Still draft a quarterback, maybe not the first round, but second or third round. I do agree they should draft a quarterback because they're not going to pay Teddy. Teddy's going to get a job somewhere else.
Do you believe the talent is going to be there in a second?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Usually, history says more than likely a quarterback has to be first round, but there's been quarterbacks in later rounds.
I know. I mean, Brady's an example.
Russell Wilson, Dak, they're later, but they definitely need to bring a guy. They need to draft a guy and bring him in the building.
So James Cupid's on this. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
It doesn't mean they have to go one way or the other. You know, draft to fortify your roster now. Go Brees another year. Maybe just one. Maybe just one more year. You know, it may be only one, but all these people that say it's time to move on from them, y'all are fucking idiots.
Well, Jose Mejia is saying Drew can't throw downfield anymore. They play press and they cover Kamara in the flat. And think about it. If teams are able to do that, then we're done. I mean, our offense is stifled if Drew Brees isn't Drew Brees. And if he is, he is still better than most of your options, but James Cupid says, then our last five playoff losses, they were to Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Case Keenum, second year Russell Wilson, and Alex Smith. So what good does having the best quarterback in the history of the game when more times than not take the New England Patriots out of it? You can win a Super Bowl with a game manager. Not that these are all game managers, but you don't need the best ever.
Brees can be a game manager, but you're going to have to beef up the defense more, I think, or something. Because, I mean, like if you look at Denver when they won with Peyton, I mean, it was their defense that was – and I'm not just talking about like the defense. You know, we have a top 10 defense, but it needs to be like top one or two if you're going to take it to Super Bowl. Instead of giving up 20, you're going to have to give up 10. Kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's
well, defense clearly wins championships.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it with Brees.
A good defense can stop the best offense.
Right, Deacon. Obviously, they did to us yesterday.
Right. So once again, I mean,
so beef up on defense. Then,
maybe we go to who said it? Randy Lamont's comment. We need another good, healthy linebacker. If Anzalone was playing, it would be a big difference, but he has an injury bug. If we can get another athletic linebacker like DeMario and Alonzo through the draft, that would help a lot.
We're going to need it since Alonzo tore his ACL and he's done.
Yeah, he's out.
Stock up the defense. All right, let's get into Look At Him tweets then.
And we lost our linebackers coach.
Oh, yeah. It makes last year so much more fucking brutal of how hard it is to get there. Like, that's just what makes it makes last year even worse. Because we're right fucking there. And now we got 3 years of winning 37
games. Well, that's what I was talking to Jake and Drew about it last night. And I was saying, you know, it's kind of like if you had, like, 40 decks of cards and you were building the greatest house of cards ever and you had 3 cards left to place on the top and somebody comes in and just knocks down the bottom card and the whole thing comes crumbling. You just spent 6 months of your life building this house of cards and you can never actually finish it. Every time you get to one or two, the wind blows wrong and the whole freaking thing comes tumbling down.
That's the last 3 years.
That's what it feels like. So at some point, you start to like, why build cards? Why build house card houses?
Yep.
Let's get some bricks. XFL.
It's fun.
All right. Big Easy Gajan says, I think sometimes Peyton and Breeze take too much on their shoulders and forget what a good team they have around them. The terrible decision to take the 10-second runoff and the fumble are prime examples. Oh, yeah. And Taysom is the heir apparent, now convinced.
Like I said earlier, I like keeping Taysom in his role.
But what do you think about the whole, is Breeze, was this kind of a situation where Breeze and Peyton refused to let the rest of the team help him, aside from Taysom?
It might be, because, I mean, if you look, Breeze checked out of a lot of plays. You know, they could have been runs. I don't know. Maybe he was thinking, and maybe he was just looking at what they gave him. I don't know, but could be. I don't know.
Hey Davis Douglas.
It just goes back to you paid Murray $4 million a year, and you really didn't use him, and other than those couple of games with Kamara out where you had to. Like, he's on your roster, you're paying him, and he's run well, use him.
I mean, and this is his former team that he's playing against. You don't think he would have an extra incentive to play well against him?
Right. Talking about Murray. And also, Peyton usually features a guy against his former team. That's usually Peyton's thing.
I mean, I don't know how much did Zach Lyon not playing affect the game plan as well.
That's it.
I mean, I'm grasping for answers. At least, I mean, shit.
They had Ortiz.
Yeah.
Right? I fucking Max's cousin.
Yeah.
He's gonna get the jersey.
Salvation was an inside job, tweets in. Should we go to a Raven style offense with Taysom? Aaron King, y'all have already said no. Aaron King says, this is on Sean. Typical MO, but he did a lot better this season than in previous ones. Hopefully he'll continue to get better. I think that we're vulnerable at home because we think we're invulnerable at home. I feel for Breeze, though.
I mean, they were better on the road this year than they were at home. They had a better record.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I don't understand how, like, I get why they might not have showed up to the Atlanta game motivated. Because they felt like they could cakewalk through it and all that. But I mean, it didn't seem like they could get it up for the playoffs. I mean, this is the big – I mean, they just came out kind of flat. They looked like they were just kind of like, eh. And Minnesota was – and maybe that's part of being – you know, hey, Minnesota was such an underdog that we're told so – they had so much locker room material that, yeah, they came in, nothing to lose, balls to the wall. Let's get out there and show everybody – who we are, since they were the disrespected team that Clemson tries to portray themselves to be.
Yeah, and I mean Kirk Cousins.
That was the problem all week. Everybody was like, Saints got this.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins had the game of his life. I mean, he
I guess he can beat winning teams.
If you play 10 times, he's gonna do it once, and that was the one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Next week they lose. Next week they lose.
Next week,
and that's what's gonna hurt. That's gonna hurt more than this.
That was their Super Bowl. That was their Super Bowl.
San Francisco is gonna be like flat. All right, I know.
I still hate the Vikings, man. Fuck, I hate them.
All right, Aaron King continues. I'm heartbroken again, but at least this one was earned. Sean Payton did it to us again. He abandoned the run when controlling tempo was crucial. Breeze was getting killed, and he keeps trying to hit a home run. A swing when you need 1 yard. All right, Mordecai. I've come to realize that maybe it's more about the journey and not about the end, Scott. I mean, some fan bases haven't seen their team win a playoff game in 2 decades, and here I am feeling like this after 2 13-3 seasons. Every year, I say I shouldn't care this much. Small rant. I'm just mad at myself for spending time watching games and ton of NFL each week, listening to player interviews, reading analysis articles, buying and wearing merch all the time, listening to the Dome Patrol podcast. All just setting myself up for disappointment. I'll just set myself up for disappointment. But, you know, I'll be back next season for more misery. And like, you will be.
The more hope you have, and that's the more miserable you are when they lose. Like,
but is it, like, bring this back to what years, I mean, this might have been in, like, our third season or fourth season with Courtney Grove, one of our founding fathers of the Dome Patrol podcast. He had to talk to his, I guess then, what, 5-6-year-old son about the Saints losing miserably, or maybe this was the Minnesota game, and he said, you know, this is what makes sports a thing that we care so much about. We lost Jason, and that is
no, I'm still here.
Oh, we lost your video. Okay, it's what makes the wins that much more exciting. It's what makes you care about each game is because the losses. It's because of losses like this that make you appreciate, and you don't take it for granted. And yeah, they hurt and they're hard, but without them, the wins are not as good. You end up taking it for granted like Saints fans do. And so, I mean, if you are going to take any kind of solace, or if you're questioning whether or not you can continue to support the Saints, can you come back after three? I mean, look at the Buffalo Bills of the early 90s, and they haven't won a playoff. Somebody said that earlier in the stream, they hadn't won a playoff game in 25 years.
Jose, yeah.
Yeah. And they went 4 straight Super Bowls and lost those Super Bowls, and yet they still have fans. I mean, so it's not as bad. I think part of what makes it harder as a Saints fan is you do kind of feel like the NFL itself is against you.
Like you said about the journey, it's like at the end of the day, 1 out of 32 get to actually say they're the champion, and it's so hard. It's so hard to get there, so hard to do all that. And man, when you got a season where it's like, man, the Saints are 13-3, we're breaking records, we're having fun, it does make me sit back and enjoy this more. Just to say, hey man, if we're gonna have a winning season, we're going to the playoffs, I want to enjoy going through that. And I mean, the playoffs are probably, and I know there was a great Angry Hoodad article on, I think, Black and Gold Review, it's like, more than likely, the playoffs are going to give you heartache. That's just the nature of all of this.
Only one team is going to walk out of the tournament happy, or fan base is going to walk out without heartache.
Right, and last year was different, because last year it definitely got taken from us. But on a normal year, like yesterday, they beat us.
It
sucks, but it happens.
I mean, it's harder to take. It may be even. It may have been easier to take this wild card loss if we were 10-6, 9-7. We were 6th seed and we lost. But I mean, I think what makes it harder is we know we were arguably the best team in the playoffs. We should have won the Super Bowl. But again. And it's kind of like, man, we waited all year. Like, we waited almost 365 days since that Rams game to go scorched earth. This was supposed to be it wasn't the story we wrote in our heads. And now it's kind of, you feel like, again, it's that deck of cards, and we have to start standing up the first card. And you know what? You as a fan have to decide, am I going to pick up the pieces and start putting the cards one by one by one? Are you still going to be excited when you see, you know, a shot glass with a Fleur de Lis on it in the store and be like, I need that shot glass? You know, I mean, if you have a choice to buy an ice chest with a Fleur de Lis on it or an ice chest without a Fleur de Lis on it, you know you're going to buy the ice chest with the Fleur de Lis on it.
Right. Look, I'm going to be back next year. I am going to take time off. I'm not going to watch football for the next 3 weeks. But like I texted you guys earlier, I don't feel like wearing anything Saints for the rest of my trip.
Yeah, I'm not. But, you know, I probably will watch, because we said at the end of last year we weren't going to be that much caring to where it ruins and dictates your life. I'm still going to watch the playoffs. What else am I going to do Saturday? Cut the grass?
I'm not watching the playoffs. No, it's back to golf season for me.
Oh, well, you have something else. I got to watch football. Sorry.
I am not watching the playoffs. Sorry.
Kind of what Jason said.
That's why I'm going to beat you in pick'ems.
About how you realize how hard it is to get there every year and to get to the Super Bowl. It almost makes last year hurt that much more, if that makes any sense. Because you know, you can see how hard it is to get back to that NFC Championship game and to have it in the way it did. Just, I don't know, I mean, just kind of tie
it. Yeah, I look at it as, maybe this can help too, is maybe if you look at it as, it's a TV show on Netflix or whatever, and that's how season 53, what season are we at, 55 with the Saints or something? That's how season 50-something ended, you know? And that's your cliffhanger for next year. Sorry. It wasn't the ending you wanted, but out of all the years, we've only had one ending that we wanted. And you know what? Here's another thing. You know who has never had an ending that they wanted? Atlanta. Carolina. I mean, come on. All right. Let's move on to Pick'ems.
Unexplained losses and led by pseudo bosses. Black Sunday and Big Ben. I'm going to meet you in that number. 60,000 others when the Saints go marching in.
Looks like Jason went 1-3. Or no, I went 1-3. Jason went 2-2. And let's see. We all, Wheels was the only person to take Minnesota. Everybody else took the Saints, chumps that we are.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. And I'll just keep running through this. In the larger leagues, Jason, between me and you, I'm 44-40. You are 39-45. So you might not be able to catch me after this week. But let's
probably
see.
Like you would have to go 0-4, and I have to go 4-1.
Yeah. And the larger league, Sans Hobbs still stays at the top. Then Greenbaum, Mordecai, Desi, Tom Ensign, Drew, Jake, Who Dat Fits, me, Triple D Kennels, The Mailman, Wheels, Davis, Douglas, Christian, Mino, Big Easy Mafia, UK, Trevor Scott, Bruno, then you and Neil, Jason. Oh, Who Dat Be, Big Easy Guy, John. Jason, you are in the bottom four.
Wait, Jason and Neil are tied?
No, but they're together.
They're together.
Yeah. All right, Aaron King, he's out. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your therapy session. All right, Jason, what you got?
All right. Hopefully you guys can hear me. It says my connection's been iffy. I mean, I'm on the hotel Wi-Fi. It says I got a strong signal, but
his connection is powered by Andrus Pete.
Oh, so God.
We're going to lose.
All right. So my plan this week is to go opposite of you for every game. That's probably going to keep me in the bottom, but that's the only way I can catch up.
Well, it would have worked this week. You'd have gone 3-1.
Yeah. All right. Our first game, fucking Vikings at the fucking 49ers. Just blow up the stadium. San Francisco favored by 6.5.
All right.
I'll take San Francisco.
Yes, I will also take San Francisco, obvious reasons. So, Jason, you're taking Minnesota?
Minnesota to cover.
You would.
But they will lose. Look, I have to go opposite of you. I have to.
I think making Jason take the Vikings is just awesome.
Yeah, that was part. I had took pleasure in that.
I feel like I should be riding Transformers again. For those of you who missed it, that was a joke from the beginning of the show. All right, the night game Saturday, Tennessee at Baltimore. Tennessee coming off a nice road win at New England, possibly ending the dynasty. They traveled to Baltimore, the odds on favorite in the AFC. They got the presumptive MVP, Lamar Jackson. Ingram is questionable, but he's supposedly going to practice this week. The Ravens are favored by 9.
Ooh.
Seems like a lot of points, but the Ravens have been the best team in football this year.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens. I think the Ravens are my pick for the Super Bowl at this point.
I mean, I think the Ravens will win, but I think Tennessee will cover.
Okay.
These are playoff games. I mean, you're not going to have that big of a margin.
Right. I'm with Scott. I'm taking Tennessee.
Okay. Yeah. I already had you down to that.
Well, I will say I'm definitely pulling for the AFC to win the Super Bowl because fuck all the rest of the four NFC teams.
There is not a single team left. Do you realize all the teams in the NFC are teams that we despise?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Even Green Bay, because of the whole Aaron Rodgers stupid helmet guy thing.
I'm pulling for Baltimore. I want Mark Ingram to get his injury.
I do like that. Debbie says all hi.
All right. First Sunday game. Houston coming off a crazy win. Comeback against Buffalo. You got a feel for Buffalo fans. Haven't won a playoff game in 25 years. Had the game and a lot of coaching blunders there. They travel to Kansas City. Chiefs well rested. Chiefs are favored by 9.5.
Ooh.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to take Houston to cover, but Kansas City wins.
I'm with Jeff on that, just kind of the same reason. That's a lot of points in the playoffs.
I'm not taking 2 9-point spreads. So Jason,
I'm ready for a Kansas City barbecue. I think Kansas City beats them pretty good.
Oh, all of a sudden Jason believes in the no close games. Davis Douglas asked if we're supporting any other team now. Sorry if you missed it. But yeah, we did all, I think, agree that Baltimore because of Mark Ingram.
Yeah. Or whoever represents the AFC.
And if not them, Kansas City. And if not them, Houston. And if not them, Tennessee.
Right. Yeah. Or whoever's in the AFC, that's what I'm pulling for. The Patriots are out, so if it was the Patriots, I'd pull against them.
I'd still pull for the Patriots. No, I'd still pull.
I don't know about that.
And right. and finally, our last game, the one we were hoping to be playing in, the Seattle Seahawks at the Green Bay Packers. Seattle coming off a win against Kansas City. A win against Philly. They knocked out Carson Wentz. It's going to be cold in Green Bay. Not going to be snowing. Packers favored by 4.
I like the Saints lose the playoff. Pickham's version of Jason like, rah, 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 I'm saying Green Bay by 4.
I'm life sorry. Sucks.
Depression is prime over here running Pickham's.
Like it's like I don't want anything to do with the NFL. I don't want to watch anything sports because all they're going to talk about is the NFL. Like I want nothing to do. No podcast except for the Dome Patrol. No
podcast.com.
You know, none of this. I don't want it. I don't want it. The good thing is after this week, they'll have moved on from the Saints, so they won't be talking about the Saints. But I want nothing to do with the NFL for a while.
Yeah,
I'm good.
All right, and we do have an XFL segment coming up.
Well, okay. Well, we still got
to make picks.
Seattle. Green Bay
is the worst 13-3 team I've ever seen.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to take Seattle to cover.
Yeah, you were. Damn, I was going to do that, but I'll do you that favor and I'll take Green Bay. That's fine. Ooh. I think Green Bay gets helped by the referees. And honestly, you say Green Bay is the worst 13-3 team? I say Seattle is the worst team in the playoffs. So
I'm gonna go with that statement.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Houston.
Oh, I'm talking NFC side.
NFC
and I actually think
Vikings.
It's funny how I say, well, no, but they're no longer in. Oh wait, no. I'm sorry. I've looked ahead. Sorry, the San Francisco is going to be.
Oh my God.
Like San Francisco already won. They're not. Vikings aren't even in the playoffs.
Right. Saints beat Minnesota, didn't they? That was a foregone conclusion we all decided before the game started. All right. Mordecai says, I have concert tickets for next Sunday night. Glad I don't have to cancel that now, at least.
No, you do
what
not.
Concert, Mordecai? What are you going to see, Lady Gaga?
Hopefully not country.
I don't know why I thought Lady Gaga. All right. Because Andrea's boss went to Vegas to a Lady Gaga concert, and his son decided he didn't want to go at the last minute. So he had this extra ticket. He ended up taking the homeless guy sitting outside the thing.
Nice.
He's like, you look like you could use a warm meal.
All right. So to recap, Minnesota at San Francisco, 49ers favored by 6.5. If the stadium explodes with an earthquake, I'm not going to care. Tennessee at Baltimore, Ravens favored by 9. Houston at Kansas City, Chiefs with the biggest spread of the week, favored by 9.5. Seattle at Green Bay, Packers favored by 4, and Aaron Rodgers can eat a dick.
All right. Get your tweets in before Saturday's kickoffs. And we've got a couple of more rounds to go before this season is over. Since there is no Saints preview to do, I guess we'll move on to a quick LSU preview. Because because we do still have, and that's the other thing, everybody. We, as a Louisiana football fan, you do have a championship to look forward to. Not all hope is lost in the sport of football.
Nope. And the Vikings proved a team wearing purple and gold can win in the Superdome.
That's right. Motion City soundtrack is Mordecai's concert. Maybe we'll play a little Motion City soundtrack.
Oh, I will say, Neil did send me a message. He wants you to end with
we will. We will.
Okay. That's a tradition when we end, sadly.
After the Saints season, no matter what, which is other than 09, sadly.
Usually it's sadly.
And even that one, I think we use it. No, we didn't have a podcast then, that's right.
Yeah. Wayne.
So this podcast has never had a happy ending.
No, we have not. Damn it. We have never been to Bangkok Spa.
All right, what would Wayne say, Jason? Big depressed over here. You're supposed to talk me off the ledge. Where you at, Jiminy?
Come on, Wayne. You got to get over it. I know sometimes things can get down, but you got to have faith and listen to your conscience.
Oh, that was Jiminy Cricket.
Book yourself a trip to Disney World, Wayne.
All right. LSU, we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah. Come on, Wayne, put on the LSU game on Monday and cheer him on. Or you can just buy tickets. They're only like $1,000 a piece. You can do it. Come on, Wayne.
I don't know. Is that Jiminy Glick?
Jiminy, no, that's...
I know.
That's all I got for you, Wayne. I'm in the land of pixie dust, and that's all I can give you. Is I try to give you a little bit of pixie dust.
LSU game. Clemson, is this an easy blowout type of game, or are you worried any?
I mean,
have you learned from the Saints not to be too confident?
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried only because Clemson hasn't lost a game in 2 years. You know, they're, 29-0. Their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, has never lost a game.
In fairness, they played a shitty schedule. So
you need to do the whole show as Jiminy from here on out.
But, I mean...
We got an off season. I could do it. Although the problem is, I'm in the perfect place to do a whole show as Jiminy Cricket.
Yes, you are.
You are.
I mean, they did, you know, beat in the playoffs last year, beat some teams that were good, Bama and whatnot. But I think LSU rolls.
Dabo Sweeney has no conscience, Jeff. He doesn't.
Not when you have God on your side. You don't need one.
Dabo fucking Sweeney. Fuck that dude.
They're going to be ready. I mean, Clemson will be ready. Their defense is one of the top defenses. Obviously, they haven't played anybody, but their defensive coordinator always seems to give teams fits. He comes up with a way. But kind of like I said last week, you can stop Chase, but you can maybe stop, you know, Hilaire, but you can't stop Chase, Hilaire, Moss, you know, this wide receiver, that wide receiver. It's just not going to.
What did Moss say this week in a press conference or something that fans overreacted to?
Jeff, he said you got mossed.
I don't know.
He said something. He ended up tweeting like people reading too much into what I said or whatever. And I thought it had something to do with declaring for the draft or not. When he was asked a question about it, but I don't know, whatever.
I remember
he said
that tweet,
this guy, Jeff, from the Dome Patrol podcast, he's an asshole. He has no conscience.
I love it. This is better.
Now, I will say, Jeff, I was nervous. When going into LSU's game against Oklahoma, I was a tiny bit nervous. Just a tiny bit. But then I remembered.
I'm 3 inches tall. Everything is tiny.
When you wish upon a star.
All right. So
got
out
of Monstro the rail really quickly.
All right. I ain't got nothing else to say about LSU other than they're going to win, right? I mean.
Well, they're going to have a healthy Hilaire. I mean, that's what they did to Oklahoma. That was without Hilaire at all. Now, yeah. Look, it's, you know, Clemson is good. They do have a lot of athletes. But every time I'm nervous about a game, Burrow just goes out there and they just exceed what I thought they could continue. Like, it's crazy that they're still getting better. How is that even possible? You're playing the
they
top
haven't played their best game yet,
and you're still getting better. I hate to be overconfident, but every time that I get nervous, they go out there and just 10 minutes in, I'm like, well, okay.
That's a team whose coach has not forgotten how to motivate and get him up for a game.
I do think that they just college football in general, like there's too much of a gap between the playoff game and national championship game.
I do agree with
like
you.
A, like almost a month, like 3 weeks. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It was, yeah, it was a lot longer. Yeah.
I don't know. And then LSU's first day of classes is supposed to be Monday the 13th. Have they changed that yet, or are they still?
I don't know.
Claiming
no, Jeff. The same as it always was. Football players don't go to practice. I mean, what are you talking
don't
about?
Go to class. You mean they go to practice? Okay. They don't go to class. There.
Shit. Okay.
Maybe. That up, Jason. Maybe Clemson players.
I definitely fucked that up.
Is that a Saints cup? So now we're going to move into our new segment, which will carry us actually all the way through April. It's called XFL. For the live stream viewers, first of all, I want you guys, if you're going to watch the XFL, go ahead and type XFL in the chat here.
I will tell you exactly.
And if you're listening on the
it.
Stream, I want you to tweet at us and just tweet hashtag XFL. And anyway, tweet us the team that you're cheering for.
That's what I got to figure out this week is who I'm going to be cheering for. I've got it kind of narrowed down. I do like DC's team. I think I told you that. They have like three LSU players. Nick Brissett's on there. There's a wide receiver on there. So from LSU. And then the quarterback is, I can't think of his name, but he was
Jason,
a quarterback. On the
Jason wants to tell us why he's not watching.
Please tell us.
So because it's not going to be good football. I equate it to, look, we watched the national semifinals games against top teams. You know, both of them. Well, I mean, LSU's was great because we won so easily, but that other game was great. And then you go back, and there's still a couple of these old filler bowls of mediocre talent. That's what the XFL is. We're watching this game, and like, this is just bad football. And that's what the XFL is going to be. No matter how many gimmicks they throw at you, you're going to be excited, and you're going to watch it, and you're like, it's just not all football is good. Like, it's going to be bad football, and it's going to be unwatchable. It's going to be
yeah. But is it some of the difference
time.
Here that
week one, there was a giant? Hold on. There was a giant viewership in week one of the old XFL. And then once people realized, well, this is shitty football with shitty players, eventually it died. I think you're going to see the same thing. No minor league football league is going to survive unless they can get top players, and unfortunately, all the top players are going to go to the NFL. So. That's why I'm not watching.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine, but
way to shit on that. But in the meantime,
well, look, I'm just giving my point. This is it could be y'all segment going forward. I'll talk about Survivor
apparently
and the Pelicans.
Debbie types XXL.
She's watching porn or extra large shirts. What's going on with that? I don't understand.
And she said, Jason, she did say, Jason, you can enjoy the XFL if you drink every time there's a blunder. That's
yeah,
what we do with the Saints
game. My liver's going to explode. Yeah.
No, I mean, I get your point, Jason. At the same time, I think a bigger reason all these minor pro leagues fail, is more because you don't know the players, you don't know the teams, you don't know anything, and you've got to give it longer than a week to know it, which is why we have this segment to try to get to know it before it starts, and maybe we'll care a little more because we know who these coaches and who these players are.
Yeah,
we know what makes up these teams. Even Jake and Drew have committed to picking a different team. And like Drew is like, I'll take Seattle Dragons and I'll follow that team. I'm going to study up on who the players are, who the coaches are. And he wants to do a segment on it. He wants to do a piece on it. Jake's going to take the Tampa Bay Vipers. And then I know, Scott, you and I were talking about Houston, or you said Washington.
I
looked
DC.
At the coaches of Houston. I cannot support Houston because two of their coaches are former Falcons. Their head coach is a former Falcon player and coach. And I think their defensive coordinator maybe is a former Falcon.
Dallas looks interesting too because they have, I think I said, Hal Mumme is their offensive coordinator. Who, if you remember.
Who is it? Who is he?
Hal Mumme, Dallas is.
Oh,
Hal
yeah,
Mumme's
yeah, yeah.
Offensive coordinator.
Dude, Dallas's coaching staff is pretty stacked.
Yeah. If you remember him from the Kentucky days with the fat quarterback, the one that just died. What's his name?
Yeah, Lorenzen.
Lorenzen, yeah, he was there when Lorenzen was there.
He was also there with Tim Couch. Like that was his offense with Tim Couch.
He coached at Southeastern too in Hammond for when they started their football program.
Well, and their head. I mean, the head coach is Bob Stoops.
Yeah, Bob Stoops. I mean, they've got some names.
I mean, it'll be very interesting to see that. And then Jerry Glanville apparently is coaching. He's a defensive coordinator. He's 78 years old.
I thought he was dead.
I can still get it up. just can't get it in.
But he's the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Vipers. I wonder if he's still going to have the little comedy side to him, because that was all he was ever good for, was, you know, talking and making you laugh.
Sound all black and leaving tickets for Elvis.
But I love the write-up about him, though, because you can't really say anything positive about what he did with Atlanta as their head coach. So all they said was he's watched the game evolve in 6 decades, and he's prepared for anything an offense could throw at him. Sure, he's a little longer in the tooth, but he's much like defensive wizard Wade Phillips. He's got an effective scheme locked down. You are not going to put Jerry Glanville in the same conversation as Wade fucking Phillips, okay?
Who got fired today, by the way?
What? Can the Saints? Not the...
You know, he wants to be our linebackers coach. We need a new linebackers coach, apparently.
Oh,
there you go. He says he still wants to coach.
I like Deb giving me the play-by-play.
Then she's... And then Seattle Dragons have Jim Zorn. Remember him?
Horny for Zorny.
You remember? I guess you are. St. Louis Battlehawks have Jonathan Hayes as their head coach. Doug Meacham's their offensive coordinator, Jay Hayes.
Hello there, children.
I saw Chris.
Oh, actually, hold on. No, you said Hayes. That's Jackson Hayes' dad. Current Pelican Jackson Hayes. That's his father. Coaching
is it? St. Louis
team. So I'll tell you what. If I'm gonna pick a team, I'll take St. Louis.
All right, you got St. Louis. I'll take Dallas since I live closer to Dallas.
I'll take DC.
You take DC. Jake will take Tampa. Drew will take Seattle. And now we're going to make it interesting. I mean, maybe we even place some little stake bets or something on the thing. I mean, in order to enjoy it, you're right. It might be shitty football. But in order to enjoy it, we have to make it fun. You know, maybe we have to, like, ironically cheer for these teams.
I'll be interested to see. They're announcing their rules tomorrow. So I'll be interested to see what exactly their rules are going to be.
They did announce a few early rules a while back. Number one, they're not going to kick extra points. Every touchdown is going to be followed by like a scrimmage play for more points, I think. Overtime is going to be more, I think, like your shootout kind of
college
situation. Yeah, maybe like college. And then the other rule I read about was...
If you could connect with a people's elbow, you get 10 yards.
I mean, I do wonder, did they say anything, Scott? Have you seen, are they going to do the whole microphone on the coach and quarterback like they did the first time around?
I don't know. I haven't really seen anything. I don't know that it's going to be, I think the first time McMahon was more connected with it and was more, they're trying to build an entertainment value for it. I think this one's going to be more football focused.
Okay. They did hire Dean Blandino to be the head of officiating.
That's a good, good thing.
That's adding legitimacy to the league is what it's doing. Even though a lot of NFL fans hate Dean Blandino,
it can't be any worse than that fucker they got now.
Right. And then the game, it's a 10-week season that's going to run from February to April. The games are going to every game comes on. Every team's game comes on TV, which I like
that.
Which channel? Like ABC, Fox, FS1, ESPN. It's all accessible. It's not like the freaking AFL who was on special channels that you had to have a premium cable membership to, and you had to pay the extra sports package, and it only came on at 3 a.m. and they showed you one game a weekend. It's every game, 10 weeks, and then a one-week playoff where the top two teams of the East play their playoff, the top two teams of the West play theirs, and then obviously East-West plays against each other for the championship. And it's geographically set up where the East teams are actually on the East side of the country, and the West teams are on the West side of the country relative
to each
other. Yeah. So, I mean, you know what? Hey, what else are you going to do in the spring?
Watch golf.
That's why I'm watching the XFL.
All right. We'll see who has more fun.
All right. Anything else to add, Scott, of the XFL?
No. Like I said, I'm just interested to see the rules, interested to see what kind of setup they have. If they use, I'm hoping they use technology to their advantage and not are as slow, maybe microchipping the ball to see, you know, if it crosses the goal line, if you can get a first, things like that. I'm just kind of interested to see what innovations they use that might be different from the NFL, and maybe the NFL will adopt something. I don't know. I doubt it. They're fucking slow to do anything, but you know, you never know.
I do like that. You know,
I hope they don't use sticks and chains for first downs.
Let's just eyeball it.
Do something different. Like you said, yeah, you use the
whips
chip.
And chains.
Something.
Whips and chains.
I mean, if you use the chip, how are you gonna? What is the chip measuring itself against?
It's gonna have to have some kind of marker on the sideline, I would assume, like some kind of
100
GPS
yard marker.
GPS.
Yeah, GPS or you know, like
put it. And how are you going to know when the chip hit the ground versus the chip bounced on somebody's arm?
Well, you use it more so for like did he cross the goal line? Like if you're in a pile, if you're running up the middle in a pile, just you can't see from a camera angle if the ball crossed the goal line.
Okay, so for an end zone, kind of like soccer does.
Yeah, you can have some kind of proximity to where it says yes or no it crossed. I don't know.
Chris Farmer, they may have referees that throw flags when they're supposed to.
That would be a nice change.
That would be smart. I do hope the I do hope their regular season MVP trophy is called the He Hate Me trophy.
Oh yeah.
I think they have to reference He Hate Me.
Can He Hate Me be maybe a kind of like an announcer? Can he do you know, the pregame show or the play by play?
I think he's doing the opening coin toss.
Is he really?
I don't know.
It's like the one player I remember from the XFL.
It's the one player anybody remembers from the XFL other than Tommy Maddox.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Remember?
So the teams in the draft also passed on Johnny Manziel, which is interesting.
Smart.
Which means maybe, which adds an element of legitimacy to the league. It adds an element. Yes, we're going to be talking about the XFL for a long time, Jason. Get used to it.
More like Borophil, but I don't know. I'm just trying to go on with your Borophil.
Something tells me he's not going to follow St. Louis like he says he would.
I'm definitely going to follow St. Louis. St. Louis is my team. Jackson Hayes is Bob. I'm Bob.
All right. Let's get into final thoughts then. Speaking of Jackson Hayes.
Speaking of Jackson Hayes, he hasn't been playing as much because Derek Favors is healthy, but the Pels have gone on a nice streak despite losing to the Lakers on Thursday. I believe they've won 5 out of 6. They're only 3 games out, and Zion's return is imminent. His return is imminent, and one big thing, other than Derek Favors, who is really his presence has really helped the team, is Lonzo Ball. Finally, looks like the Lonzo Ball we thought we were getting. He's pushing the pace, he's scoring, he's dishing, and look, as bad as it was earlier, 13 game losing streak, this team's getting some confidence, and with Zion coming back, you know. They're right there, so you can't give up on the season yet. Very, very excited to see. Hey, it gives us something to look forward to because now the Saints season's over.
I mean, it is pretty impressive and amazing that considering how the season started and how long the losing seems to felt like it lasted, that the playoffs are still an option.
It helps that other than the top 7 teams, like the bottom of the Western Conference is dog shit. But I mean, fuck it. If you get some excitement,
we're not the worst. Well, the Pelicans are doing the opposite. They're perfect for what, like, if you don't like what the Saints did, which is be the best and then lose, the Pelicans are doing it right. It's, you know, let's just create no expectation, and that way you'll be thankful if we even make the playoffs. And if we lose in the first round, you'll be like, hey, at least they made it.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, I see what you did there.
So be Pelicans fans, everybody. So we got a lot of good sports coming up that is not NFL related. Scott, you got any final thoughts?
This is the time of year where I kind of start shifting my focus more to really to LSU basketball. They opened up SEC play this past week. They beat Tennessee. So we'll be kind of following their basketball team. They have a pretty decent team. Not that y'all care, but LSU gymnastics just started back. They're number 2 in the country.
You're right. We don't.
They were runner-ups last year in the top, you know, they were second place in the country. So they just started, they won their first meet this past week against Arizona. My daughters are into that. So anyway, And then baseball will be starting up, college baseball will be starting up, LSU will be starting up their college baseball season. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. I still think Bowman.
All the sports that Jeff loves are coming on the horizon. That's why he's got to cling to the XFL. It's the only thing he likes is football. Every other sport is coming.
Don't we get the Olympics this year?
Yeah, we do. So that does bring up a question for our viewers and listeners. So if you want the Dome Patrol, it is time to talk like branding. Do we stay a Saints then NFL podcast, or does the Dome Patrol podcast actually evolve and branch out to become just a podcast sports. Of people, you general sports and entertainment? I mean, sports movies.
But we are New Orleans based.
Sure, right. But it's the things that these Louisiana boys like to talk about. And so I could see, like, Scott, you're sitting here, you're talking about all the LSU sports. I mean, LSU basketball, LSU baseball for another part of it. I mean, that's something we really don't talk about, haven't talked about on the Dome Patrol podcast because it was born out of the Saints. But if we are sitting here all saying, you know, we need more than just the Saints, otherwise we're going to be pretty depressed for a very long time. So maybe, you know, tweet to us as you're listening and answer the question, do you want us to rebrand to become a general sports and entertainment, Louisiana-based sports entertainment show? And
I think Jason does the way he looks right
now. I know. He looks like he's like, I only want to talk about Disney.
Throw up or shit himself or something. I don't
know. Okay. We don't have to talk about the Pelicans, Jason.
Well, if we're
or LSU.
We're definitely going to talk about
LSU baseball. I guarantee it gets more.
Look, hold on. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And look, when LSU baseball gets going, I'm a fan, but. Like in the off season, when I listen to Moscona and they're talking about LSU baseball on a daily basis, I'm sorry, I just can't. Look, I'm a fan. Not that I don't like it. I can't talk LSU baseball on.
No, I agree. But a weekly basis, not even a weekly. The point is, if there's so much going on, we talk about it.
I feel like we do usually bring it up, like when LSU plays like the Super Regional, if they make it to the College World Series, I feel like we've talked about that before.
Dad, how about the upcoming draft? We are not doing mock drafts, Dad.
That's funny. Your dad is definitely a mock draft guy. I love
He's not. He wants to know who we're going to pick. Well, if you listen to the show, you know that we are willing to sell out everything we have, even Kamara, to get Joe Burrow. But rebranding. Look, I'm looking even on the screen here. We can throw up the XFL logo. We can throw up the LSU logo. You know, the Pelicans logo, and we'll even put a golf ball in
Captain
there,
America
Jason.
Shield, the Survivor logo, Tiger Weed.
There you go. It'll look like a NASCAR except with sports logos.
I mean, like
just everything.
Except we won't talk about NASCAR.
For baseball, they play a weekend
Mickey
series
ears?
Every week.
You can put up like Mickey ears on it.
You can give a quick rundown of the series, like for LSU baseball. Like they play a series every weekend. You can give a quick rundown.
We've had 10 years of off seasons where we haven't all talked about the Saints. We find stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Star Wars, Mandalorian.
We do have to talk about Mandalorian pretty soon.
Baby Yoda.
We're going to have plenty of off season to talk about some things because we're not talking.
I'm going to watch The Circle on Netflix. Have you seen that? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Apparently, it's like a reality show. They got 8 people that are locked in a room, and like not the same room. Each person's in their own room. They have no exposure to the outside world other than social media, where they have access to only each other, and they can only communicate. No video or audio, just typing and pictures, I think, or something, if I'm understanding correctly. And
this on Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix. And they released like 4 episodes. So, and then a couple weeks later, they're going to release a few more episodes, kind of like that slow drip. But I've heard that it's pretty good. So I'll give it a chance.
Sounds interesting.
I don't know. All right. Anyway, that was my final thought. Anyway, meantime, I'll say that is all the show we have for you right now. That's all the season the Saints have for you right now. And so we will thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation about more than just Saints, apparently. Like us on Facebook to watch these live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you don't listen on TuneIn or Spotify or Bing Spang or whatever podcast app you want to use.
Bing Spang.
It's a new one.
Bing Spang.
It's one created by Jiminy Glick. And you can listen to us the old-fashioned way. Dome Patrol Podcast.
Back out.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, donkeys. Follow your conscience.
Good season, Who Dat Nation.
And as is tradition at the end of every Saints season, we end with Bruce Springsteen's When the Saints Go Marching In.
We are all traveling in the footsteps of those that come before, and we'll all be reunited on that new and sunlit shore. When a saint's marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, and when the sun refuses to shine, when the sun refuses to shine, Lord, how I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, how I want to be there on that morning when the saints go marching.
When the trumpet sounds its call, when the trumpet sounds, oh, how I want to be in that number when the trumpet sounds its call, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Lord, go marching in.
Now some say this world of trouble is the only world we'll ever see. But I'm waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Lord, how I want to be there on that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when I sing, when I'm marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want.
Lord, how be in that number,
be in that number
when the saints go marching.